Get ready for a week-long celebration of music, community, and fabulous fun with Joy Radiothon 2024. Joy has the largest collection of rainbow podcast content in the world, and you can help keep us out loud and proud by donating during Joy Radiothon 2024. Just go to joy.org.au/radiothon. Mark it in your calendars because Joy Radiothon returns June 1st to 7th. And remember, we all flourish with joy.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Joyful, joyful.
Spirit Lounge on Joy 94.9. This is the show where we talk about spirituality and sexuality for our community.
Good evening and welcome to Spirit Lounge. And there were three revs and then there were two. And now there's one. Good evening, David.
Good evening, Joy. Welcome to Spirit Lounge for the night.
We might have to call you Rev David for the night.
I'll accept that in honorary capacity.
So that there's two of us.
That's it.
Our love goes out to Kath and to Matt, who are unable to be here with us tonight. On Joy 94.9, we often meet some amazing people that we get to interview. Though I haven't met Katie Lang yet, I must say, but, you know, you never know. But a couple of years ago, I got to meet a woman called Horse McDonald, and I had never heard of her. And Bertie, who is the pretend Pom, who's actually a Scot. Did you get that?
I think it sort of made some sense.
Knew of Horse's music and organised for Horse to come in and talk to us. And she's an incredible singer-songwriter who is deeply spiritual. And we got to go out afterwards with her and her band and have Chinese and have a lovely evening, and the Horse and I got on really well and have become friends. And this week I interviewed her, and I was thinking about the fact that this woman is deeply spiritual, but her music doesn't actually talk about God.
That's interesting.
Yeah, and I was thinking, well, there was another guy that we interviewed who's Australian called Andy Sorensen, and he's the same. His music is deeply spiritual and yet doesn't necessarily talk about God all the time. And it's her helped him through some really rough times. So what I wanted to do was revisit that interview we did with Andy, and that was The Priest, the Pom and the Poof. So Bertie, Andrew and I did the interview. In fact, he came into the studio. This is a straight man who is incredibly talented. I've been to a couple of his concerts. And so we're going to play the interview with Andy Sorensen and a couple of his tracks, and then we're going to play the interview with Horse McDonald. In the meantime, we will put our feet on the desk and sip champagne and have a wonderful night. And you're on the Spirit Lounge, and we have Andy Sorensen.
Andy Sorensen is a synthesizer-wielding singer-songwriter who uses his custom-built eclectic piano rig to organically create lush, atmospheric soundscapes. Andy's deeply personal and melodic pop songs are translated via ambient keyboard and percussion loops, layered vocal harmonies and the occasional sound effect.
Wow, I sound awesome.
I'm sure you are, Andy.
Well, what does that all mean then?
I think it means I've got a unique little instrument that I've been developing over the last couple of years, and I'm primarily a keyboard player, piano player. I've been making records for other people for a long time, so I'm interested in recording technology, and so I've combined kind of piano and my singing and my little pop songs with recording. So it's been the domain of guitarists for a few years now, but we're trying to take it back for the keyboard player. So I've got, this little looping recorder that I can record things, harmonies and keyboard sounds as we go along and build up these kind of soundscapes.
Well, we're going to revisit that later. Now, what I'd like to do is rewind.
Okay.
Thank you. He's very good at sound effects.
He's great, yeah. Isn't he?
Now, tell us about your upbringing and tell us about the role that religion and music played in it.
Well, it all started when I was a boy.
When you were born.
Yes, it started when I was born. I think religion and it was a very large part. I grew up in the Christian church and my parents are heavily involved in the church as elders in the Baptist church. And so that's kind of the musical tradition that I grew up in the eastern suburbs of Melbourne here. And, yeah, so I heard a lot of, you know, I grew up with the Baptist hymns and the record collection at home. I'm the youngest of four boys. And they're all three. You rolled your eyes then. What's wrong with that? Yeah, so all my three older brothers, they were all sort of 1 year after another. Then there's a big gap to me. So they were all listening to... My parents were kind of feeding me a lot of bunch of white gospel music and harmony groups. And my brothers were all listening to sort of British rock, Led Zeppelin, Deep Purple,
Stairway to
Black
Heaven,
Sabbath, yeah, all
one
that.
Of my favourites.
All that. So somewhere in there.
The reason I was rolling my eyes, I was just feeling really sorry for your mother.
Yeah, well, with good reason, I think. Yeah, we gave her some what for.
So whenabouts did you actually realise that music was going to be your career rather than just something you dabbled in?
I think really early. I think all through school. I remember thinking, oh, I think I can sing. That was pretty early on. I had some incredible music teachers who decided that I was going to be musical. And that was a real help. But I think, you know, by the time I've always been able to play piano since about then, I think 7 or 8. And it came, I was picking out things, you know, off the radio. I never really learnt properly. And, yeah, I always, from about 13, I started fiddling around with little cassette recorders and making experiments. And I think I always knew all my friends were kind of, what am I going to do? Even through to tertiary, you know. But from 13, I was kind of pumping petrol and trying to make some money up at Marysville and Narbathong, trying to, you know, trying to get some money to go into the studio and record some of my songs. So I was just totally obsessed with it from the start. It was always going to happen, I guess.
Yeah. I remember hearing you first in The Pirates of Penzance, the lead role at Alexandra High School.
Well, thanks for reminding me in front of a whole bunch of people about that, Joy. And I recall hearing about this radio station and me thinking that was actually yours.
Well, it is.
Yeah. So there, how'd you like them apples?
Where do you get inspiration from to write the words and music?
Oh, I think that's a pretty broad question, I guess. I guess everything. Being involved in production and then playing and singing, I can't really separate any of those things. I think the large part, I think I grew up in the bush pretty much as a teenager. I was in the suburbs of Melbourne before that, and I get pretty inspired by nature. And I guess a lot of my songs are sort of searching songs and redemption songs, I guess. So I guess there's a big spiritual element to them. But I guess just stories, my own experience, and I guess the first songs that I ever wrote as a young angsty teenage boy in the country were all sort of getting out my angst. And so it was just pure expression, I guess. There wasn't that much craft involved. But so your own experience and then the bush. I'm really inspired by the bush and nature and God in nature, and
So
that might sound simple, but that's actually probably the truth for me.
So how would you describe your music in terms of genre? I mean, do you perform solo or do you have a band?
Okay, so when I started out, after high school, I had a band. It was a big kind of poppy, rocky sound, and I did that for a long time, flicking my hair around as much as I possibly could, and that and my torn jeans and a bunch of guitarists, and, you know, I had two drummers, two keyboard players. It was a big band, and yeah, I just went for it, and I loved American rock at that stage. Now, this little instrument that I was telling you about is a little bit more chilled out, and it's kind of loopy and keyboardy, and other people an English friend described it as ambient pop fusion.
Okay.
It's kind of, it's got some sort of ambient-y elements in there.
And you're on the Spirit Lounge with the priest, the pom, the poof, and the pianist. We have Andy Sorensen with us this evening.
During your 20s, you also went through a really tough time when you began having flashbacks about being abused sexually as a child. Mm-hmm. What impact did this have on your spirituality and also on your music?
Okay, they're big questions. What ask me the first part again. Sorry, I was trying to take it all in at
once. What impact did that...
I had a massive impact. I guess for a long time, yeah, so the experience that I had happened to me when I was in my early teenage years and outside my family. It's important to say that. And love my family. I guess the impact, I really only started remembering this. This experience happened to me, this abuse happened to me probably for a period of around 3 years. And yeah, I didn't even know of its existence, really. I think my mind or whatever it is had shut that down until I reckon I was 27 or 28. I started seeing these things, and of course that all came back. Yeah, so I think it had just been kind of repressed until I was able to somehow kind of process it. I'm not really sure. Yeah, but it was a big deal, and it's been really only up until now that I've been able to talk about it through. Really, because I lost a friend of mine about a year and a half ago, took their own life. And a similar thing had happened to her, and she wasn't able to deal with it and get through it or even talk to anybody about it, as far as I'm aware. So that's kind of brought me out of the closet with that one, as far as, you know, telling my story. I thought I'd take it to the grave with me because I didn't think it would benefit anybody. But since I've been talking about it, and it's the reason that I'm kind of singing again, really, is just to sort of tell a little bit of my story and hopefully bring courage to other people, because I think the first step is just to kind of put one foot in front of the next and just say, you know, keep going and wake up the next day. And, you know, that's a choice that we kind of have to make, I think.
And was your music part of your healing, do you think?
Oh, definitely. I think I've got a massive advantage there in that ever since I was a little guy, music has really been, you know, a conduit for me. And it's language, as I found out in Africa. It's, you know, here's guys who didn't speak the same literal language as me, and then they'd sing, and I go, I know what you're singing about, brother, you know? I don't know, there's something about it. So for me, I was able to take out my frustrations on the piano and get a lot of it out that way. I think that's an amazing thing that music does. And I think that's been a real advantage. So even in Africa now, when guys are coming out who've been ex-child soldiers, people are encouraging them to write about their experiences, do something artistic, write poetry, sing a song about it, because it just helps people go through the process and grieving and dealing with it. So I think that's a very healthy thing. It's very much helped me. Yeah.
It's therapeutic, isn't it?
Very, very much so, I think.
Have you had any people like talk to you about the fact that what you've been through and the music that they've listened to of yours has helped them with their healing from similar things?
It hasn't been a succinct plan. I am a musician, so you know.
Yeah.
But look, as soon as I started talking about this, I did an interview and played a song, which I think is on the list here that we're going to play a little bit later, called Very Bright Future, which has been really important for me. Ever since I mentioned it, people in the audience on the first night just came up to me and said, I never thought, me, Andy, I never thought that I'd be able to tell anybody. And since doing it and just telling my story, I had heaps of people on that very first night come up to me and say, listen, I've never told anybody about this, but...
Wow.
So I think it's just an encouragement for people. Do you know what I mean? It's not anything that I've done. It's just a matter of...
To find out more about Joy 94.9, check out joy.org.au.
I think when you go through an experience like that, the most... You know, it's... It's remarkable to realise that you're not the only person.
Exactly.
I don't know. So, yeah. So I think that's just an encouragement for other people.
It's sad to think that, you know, there are so many people, as you say, in the closet with that, keeping it to themselves
The stats are amazing.
Like,
yes.
Who do they tell?
Yeah.
You know, are they going to let it out? And they, you know, and that's great. They just listen to your music. What a great example, because they see that you've done it.
Well, that's been my way. And I think the most important thing that I would want to say is that if there's something that you can do, I don't know whether I would not be good being able to just, you know, talk to somebody one-on-one. But music for me was a way. But if there's some way that you can write something down, talk to somebody, I would love to encourage people to do that. Because when you don't deal with it and just leave it there, it's a thing that's going to sort of, it can take you over. And
I think, though, the fact that you've been through it, people can then relate to your music, and I think that music is and can be very healing for people just listening, because they think, oh, well, someone understands.
Yeah, and music is spirit and soul, isn't it, as language, and it bypasses all the cerebral stuff. So music can get get to us as music fans or listeners in a way that not too many other things can. That's why we love. That's why most people love the arts.
Okay, we're talking to Andy Sorensen. We'll be back just in a minute.
Great shows, great topics, great radio. Joy 94.9.
And you're on Spirit Lounge on Joy 94.9 with the Breeze, the Pom and the Poof. Andy, you are currently on the underwater breathing tour.
Yes, ma'am.
How is it going? Are you performing in lots of swimming pools?
We did consider that. We did consider that. However, local councils being what they are, no, that's. I was going to launch off into a long joke there, but it was never going to work. So, no, the answer is no. We're playing in art spaces and community halls and some very groovy places.
Clubs and wineries
and all that kind of stuff. Stuff that's very conducive to listening to beautiful music, I hope. And I've got some very gifted friends coming along to help me make such things.
Yeah. So it was just the promo that showed you underwater breathing.
Oh, well, there is a bit of underwater breathing going on, and people have been turning up with all manner of paraphernalia, like snorkels, flippers. But yeah, there are. We did take all the promo shots were taken underwater with live. People said, "Is it effects or what?" But no, we did go down there and take all those photographs, and
I
that was fun.
It was warm.
It was actually a little chilly. Just ask the photographer.
So were you trying to sing underwater? Did it sound like you were gargling?
I was singing underwater, and we're doing a video, actually, for the song called Underwater Breathing.
The Underwater Breathing song does sound a little bit like you are singing underwater at times, doesn't it?
It's amazing.
Yeah.
How does that work? Yeah, no, so we did that, but trust me, there are no tanks involved or Houdini stuff.
You don't put your head in a bowl of water while you're singing at that point.
Maybe I should. We might get a lot, you know, we might get a wider variety of people coming along to see it then.
Yes.
And so it sounds like you've got a pretty loyal following in Australia. Do you have have you performed overseas and
I have.
Whereabouts?
Yeah. Excuse me. I've performed in the US. I've done a couple of US tours, and I don't know, can you call New Zealand overseas? I don't know. When I'm in New Zealand, I refer to Australia as the West Island. They love that.
I'm sure they do.
Yeah, I'm not sure that too many Aussies are
keen. Do you know who the All Blacks are, though?
Yeah.
Oh, that's all right, then.
Yes, I do.
You really do need to know that if you're going to go to New Zealand.
I want to be a Kiwi when I grow up. It's always been one of my ambitions.
Well, that's all right, because most of the Kiwis are coming over here, so you can just go back there.
Yeah. I've played in Asia and the Philippines, and I'm getting lots of invites since I've been doing this record. I went on tour with an amazing guitarist from the UK called John Gom, who is spectacular, beautiful artist. He's from Leeds, and I went around as the support act for him around Australia this year and got a lot of love from his audience, and they're all kind of coming back to see me, so it was great. But since I've put out a little video on this record, lots of people from every country that you can't pronounce is asking me to come to their country.
So you've got an atlas and you're looking for them?
Yeah, I am. It's been good for my geography. I wish I had taken more notice at school.
Where to for Andy Sorensen?
Up, Joy, up.
Up.
Up. World domination? I don't know. How do you answer that? How do you answer?
Do you have plans?
Look, I'm a simple man. I like music. I like making music. I like creating things. I think creation equals living, and I think that everybody's born creative, and I just want to keep, you know, to get an opportunity to play music and to sing is just a real honour, and I love doing it. I encourage everybody that I know to do their art in some form, and that's what I'll be doing until I drop, I imagine.
So it's goodbye from the priest
and from the pum
and from the poof
and the piano player.
And that was some voices from the past, and that was our interview with Andy Sorensen. And we're going to play the track that he talked about called Very Bright Future. Here is Andy Sorensen.
I see a very bright future in front of me. Thank you.
Joy 94.9.
So I'm talking to Horse McDonald, all the way from Glasgow in Scotland, and we are going to talk about her trip out to Australia. Now, first, Horse, what have you been up to? I mean, I follow you a bit on Facebook, and you have been very busy this year.
I've been busier this year than ever before, and from part of last year into this year, I've been really, really busy. And not just what people actually see, I've been doing quite a bit of writing. There's a couple of projects I'm involved in. I'm doing some composing for other people's words, which is quite an interesting thing for me, a bit scary. I've been in Germany this year as well, which I've loved, because it's been a few years since I've been there. I was at the equivalent of Pride. It's called CSD, which is Christopher Street Day, in Cologne and Munich. And Cologne was 20,000 people, Munich was 10,000. So it was good to be back on a stage and communicating with a big group of people. So, yeah, I loved it. That was Germany.
Yeah, and I see you're going to go back at some point too.
Yes, next year. There's also plans for America in March, April. So it's all very exciting. The trick is not to push the boat out too far in case you sink.
So are you well known in America?
I suppose I would. Well, it depends. People do know me because I've toured a couple of times earlier on, and I still have a fan base there. But it's such a vast country. It's a little bit like Australia. It's such a vast country that unless you're actually touring constantly, it's very difficult to do that. And without the support of a major label, you know, it's pretty much like a little cottage industry, if I can use that phrase.
What other thing? You've been some good gigs in the UK, though.
I've been touring because the album Home is probably now, it's not new anymore. It's the current album, I would call it. And we had such a good time touring that. And so we've done maybe four tours of that, you know, incorporating various different songs from the other albums. Because I do have 9 albums, of course. So there's quite a lot to choose from, and we've done several tours with that, and so we've been up and down the UK doing shows with the full band. I also went out for the first time in years solo and did a little solo tour, which I called Flying Solo.
Are you working on a new album in the near future? Or
Yes, I'm working on that, and I have some shows here in Scotland in October, just as a kind of taster. We'll be doing a couple of the new songs, and much to the band's great terror, because I literally said we're doing these new songs, and you know, it's difficult to you know, because if the song is inside you, and then it's like kind of bringing it out of yourself. It's like, I don't know, the only analogy I could think of is turning yourself inside out, and then to try and see what you have, because it's kind of, I'm a very feely person, so it's how it feels as much as how it sounds. And anyway, so they've literally had a couple of rehearsals on these new songs as well as the full set. I pride myself in not doing the same set twice, so it's quite a challenge, because it means you've got to put stuff in that you haven't done in a long time or whatever. So every time it challenges the band to either revisit stuff or have to do completely new things. So it's really exciting, though. Really exciting.
Your music is really deeply personal and spiritual, isn't it? So does it come? It comes out of experiences that you've gone through, or people you know who have gone through.
I was actually talking to someone a couple of days ago about this in an interview, and I'm not a thinker. I don't mean that I'm stupid, or maybe I am sometimes, but I kind of feel things, and I have developed this system of writing where from teenage years I had a lot of difficulties growing up in my town, and I resorted to writing songs or the beginnings of writing songs, and doing all of those. It just seemed to be my fears, my horrors, my joys, pleasures. Everything seemed to come from inside me out with my voice. So I was finding my voice. And over the years, the more experience I've had, the more fine-tuned that talent or experience or ability to draw stuff out of myself becomes. And latterly, the album coming up for air when my mum and dad died, that really brought a lot of stuff out of me and took me, I think, to another dimension in terms of relating the emotions into a song, into a form. And I don't really know quite how I do it, but it's just something that's developed over the years.
So writing would actually be quite exhausting for you, would it?
It is. And the interview I did, I've got to go and sing one of the songs from Coming Up For Air because it's attached to a faith program. It goes out on a Sunday and they asked me if I'd come and talk about my deeper emotions and beliefs and feelings. And I was speaking about losing my mum and dad and they really want me to sing this particular song, Heaven Can Wait. And that was quite literally associated with seeing my mum in hospital and being with her and watching her die. And so that song is difficult to sing. When I was talking to her, I was getting a little bit emotional about it too. But there's an awful lot of stuff embedded in it. And when I sing it, my feelings seem to be inextricably joined. So when I sing it, people feel it, and people obviously have that empathy of that experience of losing somebody very, very close and how it feels. So to me, it's a little bit of a gift because it's a bit of a release for people when they allow a little bit of sadness or unhappiness or whatever it is out. It's a good release.
When my mum died, I listened to Heaven Can Wait several times, and it was the song that really allowed me to grieve because my mum lived in a different country, so it's very hard because you know she's not there, but it doesn't quite hit home, and yet your song was so powerful for me in the healing process.
I think that's a wonderful thing to hear, and I would never, ever... It feels to me like I would never, ever take praise for creating something like that because I feel it came from somewhere. The song came from somewhere and all I've done is kind of passed it on. And it's such a wonderful thing to be able to do. And I've no idea why that happens. But what is amazing is the like you say, the release that people have had from it.
Joy 94.9, Australia's best radio station.
And you're with the bestest Revs, well, Rev Joy and the pretend Rev David.
That's right. Yes, we are the bestest. I think I like that. And you know what, Joy?
What?
So does our audience.
I'm sure they do. Now, I had the privilege of talking to Horse... Well, there's a cricket in my ear.
There are crickets there.
Horse McDonald, who is a Scottish singer-songwriter, earlier this week, and she is... coming out to Australia. So here is Horse McDonald.
And again, because I've been doing music for a long time, I actually have people who've followed my music for years, have followed the development, have had the music for lots of different situations in their lives. And just quite literally, yesterday, I heard about a long-term fan who's just passed away. And it really, really made me think because I felt very sad. And as an artist, I mean, I'm very friendly with people and I do know a lot of my fans, but you couldn't call them friends. However, when I was thinking about it yesterday, I realised that I touch people with my music, but conversely, meeting these people touches me too.
Yeah.
And I realised that, excuse me, I realised that yesterday. And... they've asked me to go to the funeral and I don't know if I can or not, but and sing, but you can't do that for everyone, but you kind of feel that it's almost like completing a full circle in my life and that person's life. But if I'm available, I can do it. Well, if I can't do that, I'll probably sing something specially for them and send it. And I've done that before, and it felt the right thing to do for me as well. But obviously, you cannot do that for everybody. But
no,
there's just something about that situation that I realised that I'm in. Again, I'm very much connected. It's a full circle of an experience between me and the people I sing for, and every audience I sing to isn't just one, amorphous blob. It's individuals, and it's such a powerful, powerful thing. And yeah, I really feel blessed, really blessed.
Horse, thank you so much. And you're on Spirit Lounge on Joy 94.9, and that was our my interview with Horse McDonald.
Nice interview, Joy.
This podcast was produced by Joy Media. You can support Joy's diverse sound and diverse community this June by donating to Joy Radiothon 2024. Go to joy.org.au/radiothon. And remember, we all flourish with joy.